Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Matthew chapter 3, reading verse 10, 11, and 12. "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down or cut down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And I guess I forgot to announce the title of my sermon. It's called "The Fire of the Holy Ghost." And if you read each of these three verses, it mentions fire. But this second verse, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." We understand on the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, the Spirit of God fell upon the early church. Cloven tongues like as a fire. We know this story. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But you see, this verse I just read, verse 11, it speaks of Christ obviously coming. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Again, each of these three verses, fire is mentioned. Many times in Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, I suppose, we talk about the inner work that results from receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There is a change. There is a change that comes. There is an empowerment. God helps us to be better Christians. The Word of God is opened to us. It is illuminated. It jumps off the page at times. In my own life, I can testify that when I was baptized in the Spirit, it had a great effect on me. I understood the Word of God as never before, and I had a drive and a zeal to do the things of God. You can look at Peter on the day of Pentecost. He was a changed man. We understand 50 days before he had denied the Lord. We understand that many times in the Gospels he was always boasting and speaking up out of turn, perhaps sticking his foot in his mouth, perhaps. He was in the flesh. He had a lot of zeal. I understand that, but he denied the Lord. He was ashamed. We can read, Jesus said three times, "Feed my sheep," speaking to him. But his responses in the Greek, he never quite said, "Lord, I agape you." He never quite did, because he understood that he was just a man. He understood that his boasting, that was good, but he didn't follow through. But when the Spirit of God fell on the day of Pentecost, Peter, standing up with the 11, addressed the crowd and preached a wonderful message, mainly from the Old Testament. how that Christ fulfilled the Old Testament and he was the Messiah and that we should look to him. Probably the best example of the change that occurs in a person's life when he's filled with the Spirit, you can look at King Saul. When we first hear of Saul, he's wandering around the countryside looking for livestock. He really didn't know what was going on. He had no understanding. But it says, 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, the other prophets, and shalt be turned into another man." Again, the Spirit of God helps us to be better Christians, helps us to be more faithful. When we struggle and try to pray, or struggle and try to witness, or struggle, well, when we're filled with the Spirit, God enables us and empowers us. And shalt be turned into another man. We can talk about progressional sanctification. Sanctification means that we're set apart unto God and for his use. There is positional sanctification. We're in Christ. That's our position. Progressional sanctification says, okay, you're saved. Now what are you going to do? Paul mentions growing and the stature and the nurture and all that stuff. But there's a growth process. And the Spirit of God, we need to allow him to work in our hearts and lives to make us more like Jesus. I could go through the list, the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that God does in our hearts. We can't manufacture through willpower or religious fervor to love our enemy, for instance, or to be meek. Those are things that you just can't do. Not really. The Spirit of God does something in your heart. I can tell of myself. I had a big mouth, I suppose. I had opinions. She says I still do, but but I was crude. I was rude in my speech. Then one day God showed me Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, that the Lord put in me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning to cause my ear to hear as the learned. Now I find myself speaking with kindness. When somebody does something, I say, well, I forgive, or I won't get upset, or what have you. This is something that God did in my heart, because it wasn't me. I know how I used to be. This is the Lord. Again, the fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit in a person's heart and life. Another topic for another sermon would be brokenness. We have our self-will. We have our idea of how it should be. We have our methods, etc. We have our desires, our ambitions. But brokenness is when the Lord breaks our will. Let me read a few passages. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. "If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Matthew 19, verse 29. "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, he shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Lord, not my will but thine. Luke 14, verse 27. "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So self-will, flesh drive, ambition, you have to surrender. And it's the work of the Spirit that helps us to do that. But this last verse, Matthew 3, verse 27, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here he's talking about the Great Commission. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. We understand wheat, that's something that you grow and then you harvest and gather. But the fan and purging the floor, you have to take wheat and bundle it the old way. Obviously, there's equipment now that does it. But you take sheaves of wheat, you bundle them, and then you beat them. And eventually the kernels will fly out. And you need to make sure that you collect those kernels. But with the kernels, you've got little bits of stick or leaf or whatever, the different parts of the wheat. All of these other things also fly out. You have to separate the wheat from the chaff, it's called. In the old days, they would essentially get a blanket or a bed sheet, and they would put the wheat and all the little sticks or whatever on this bed sheet, and they would bounce it up and down. Every kid has taken bed sheet and put a ball and bounced it up and down. That's the idea. But they would also have some sort of fan, and they would cause a wind essentially to pass over the wheat as it's being thrown up into the air. The wheat is heavy, or heavier than the little stick or whatever, and the little stick and leaf or whatever would fly off. And in the end, after the process is complete, you've got wheat, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Again, the Great Commission and the winning of lost souls. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my Father's business? We're to be about the Father's business. Obviously, Christ, when he was 12 in the temple, when he stayed behind, when Mary and the others came and said, What are you doing here? He said, Don't you understand? I need to be about my Father's business. It was his job to win souls. It was his job to seek after lost souls. We have a magazine in the Pentecostal Church of God, the Pentecostal Messenger. This arrived yesterday, day before or something. Page 3, I suppose, there's an interview with Charles Scott, our general bishop, I guess up in Joplin. And he's being interviewed. And if I may, I'd like to read these two paragraphs. The interviewer asks, Have pastors and Christians been hindered in sharing their faith due to a lack of emphasis on the Spirit's role in evangelism? His answer, yes. Most of the teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit has to do with the ministry of the Spirit to the believer, or the second verse I read. However, Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment as the gospel is shared. Too often, he's right, too often Pentecostal charismatic churches, all they want to focus on, it seems like, is the power of the Spirit in the service and speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy. And then, that's great. I'm happy. Praise God. But we need to be about the Father's business. Our bishop says exactly that. We need to be about the Father's business. Let me read this verse one more time, and I'll read three verses in the book of Joel. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And to close, Joel chapter 2, you can turn or not. And I want to say, and again, this is a sermon for a different time, there are those very vocal in the church, on television, what have you, that have a different interpretation, a wrong interpretation of the book of Joel. But I want to give what I believe is the right one. Joel chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall there evermore after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. You see, it's our job to be about the Father's business. It's our job to win souls in this neighborhood, in Haiti, in Ouagadougou, in Africa, everywhere. It's our job to win souls because you see, He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There is a judgment coming. Joel has the message that there's judgment coming. There's a terrible day coming. This army, perhaps, is coming to destroy. When they get there, it's like the Garden of Eden. And when they're done, it's burn up. There's nothing left. The great tribulation is coming. I'm not trying to be a prophet, but anybody with eyes in their head can see on the TV, they can look at what's happening in the Middle East. Things are not going well. Again, I don't know when the Lord's coming, but man, it sure looks like He could come soon.
Amen.
It sure looks like. But whenever He does come, it's going to be a terrible day. Read through the book of Revelation. It'll scare you. We must gather in the lost. We must, before this day of darkness and gloominess comes upon us. Heavenly Father, thank You. I ask for conviction. I ask that we as a church, the church as a whole, would get our priorities straight and not worry about how much money can come in the offering or how many TV stations we're on or any such thing. Or what kind of car we drive or none of these things matter, Lord. I'm grateful that I have a good vehicle now. 3 weeks ago I had a piece of junk and was happy to have it. Because it's not about any of that. It's about doing Your will and being about Your business, Lord. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen.
What can wash away my sin?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. All precious is the cross. Oh.
blood of Jesus. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.